Last week, I think you had an introduction from Acts chapter 18. So we're in 55 BC, 20 years or so after Jesus has died. Paul's been traveling around preaching the gospel. He's had that amazing experience in Corinth. An incredible experience because it was a pretty horrible place. When I first went to work, I went to work in Tiger Bay. Now, some people here, that would mean something. Most of you, it won't mean anything. But Tiger Bay is the dock area of Cardiff, the docks. And it was renowned as a place of corruption, as a place where it was pretty grim. To be honest, when I walked home sometimes late at night, if I had to walk late, I had to walk up a famous street called Bute Street, and on every corner there were certain ladies. When I was 16, it was a bit scary. Actually, they were very nice to me. One of them, first time I did it, she said, you look scared. I said, well, I am a bit. I've never been here. She said, come on, I'll walk you up the street. And she walked me up the street and said, this is John, he works here. And I never had any trouble again, so that was fine. But that was the sort of place it was. Bars, sailors, and that was the sort of place Corinth was. It was renowned. It had a reputation. And God said to Paul, don't be scared. I'm going to look after you. Because in this dreadful place, there are people who are mine. And you stay there. And he did. And you read the story last week, and that was an amazing thing. But they didn't all solve all their problems at once. There were lots of problems that still went on. And as you go through this book of Corinthians, you will find that this relatively new church was a mess. There were lots of difficulties. And Paul wanted to do something about it because he was thankful for them. With all their problems, with all their difficulties, with all their weirdness, with all their bad habits, he was thankful that God had worked there. And so he wanted to help them to get it right. And it's almost as if he starts with the most important things. And he's going to develop these things as he goes through the book. And he talks, as he starts this letter, three times in the nine verses, I'm sure you noticed, he uses the word called. Called. He starts off with himself. He says, Paul called to be an apostle. Now that was important for him to say. We haven't got any apostles today. Apostles had to be people who had had a personal meeting with the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul had, although it was in a very unusual way. He was putting Christians in prison. He was a Jewish zealot. He was against Christ. He was against the church. He was against God. Although he believed he was serving God, and then Jesus came to him, and his whole life was changed. And he was given a certain authority, and that's why he says that here. He is speaking with the authority of an apostle to this new church, so they need to listen to him. Now, at that time, of course, they didn't have the New Testament. You have to remember that. It wasn't all written down. Paul was writing it down as he was going around. He was writing these letters to help people. And because he was an apostle, he was writing God's words down. So we have these letters as God's word to us today. And we don't have any more of God's words. There they all are in our Bibles. We've got everything that God wants to say to us here. Isn't that amazing? Don't you think that's fantastic? That God has given us a book which has got everything he wants to say to us. I remember a great preacher saying once to a conference of ministers, saying, won't it be terrible when we get to heaven and we ask God questions and he says to us, didn't you read my book? It's all there in my book. So Paul states his authority. And he is called to be an apostle. Now Sosthenes, who's also mentioned, was a brother, but he wasn't called to be an apostle. We don't know much about Sosthenes. I wonder if he's the same Sosthenes that you heard about last week. Do you remember him last week? He came in verse 17, didn't he? He was the ruler of the synagogue who got beat up because he was not a very good ruler of the synagogue. And he'd lost the arguments. And I wonder if after that he began to listen to what Paul was saying. And he became a believer and he became a supporter of Paul and followed him around. One day I'll know. I don't know yet. But it's a bit strange that at the beginning of the letter, the first letter Paul writes to the Corinthians, he mentions a name who was in the city, isn't it? So it may be the same person. But Paul speaks now with the authority of an apostle. So as we read this passage, this is God's word to us. Now, the next thing he talks about is the title I was given for this sermon, called to be holy. To the church of God in Corinth, well, Mark's already explained that, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Now they've been called to be his holy people. But they've been called by an act of God. God has done something that they couldn't do. Did you notice that? It's the church of God. We've all got a habit, haven't we, of saying, have you been to Norman's church? Or to Jonathan's church? But we're wrong, aren't we? We should never say that. Because it's God's church. It's never ours. No matter how great. Charles Spurgeon had 25,000 people every Sunday to listen to him preach, and it was never his church. It was always God's church. And this is God's church in Corinth, as you are God's church in Caterham. You are a colony of heaven in Caterham. Have you ever thought of yourself like that? That's what you are. You can read it in Thessalonians. Is it Thessalonians? Or Philippians? No, the end of Philippians chapter 3. You're a colony of God's people in Philippi. You're a colony of God's people here. There are lots of colonies all over the world. And you're part of it. And Paul says, you're part of it. Now he says, you're part of it because of an act of God. God who sanctified you in Christ Jesus. And called you. He sanctified you and called you. Sanctified simply means set you apart as special. It was the word that was used for the things that were in the temple that were kept apart from everything else because they were special. And God has sanctified every one of his people by an act. They haven't sanctified themselves. God has done it. It's a remarkable thing that he does, and he's done it in Christ Jesus. So we're never sanctified apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Every Christian is completely and utterly a Christian because of Jesus Christ. Not because of anything they've ever done, but because of what God has done in Jesus Christ. God sees you, if you're a Christian this morning, God sees you as if you were Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? That's just so mind-blowing that his own son, his own perfect, beautiful, wonderful son who gave himself now stands in my place, takes my sin, and gives me all of his perfect righteousness, and I have it forever. Because of an act of God. Listen to what Jesus said when he was speaking in a famous part of the Bible, in John chapter 10, where he talks about being the good shepherd. He says this, comes in verses 14 to 16. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Have you heard the voice of Jesus softly pleading with your heart? Have you? You see, here is the big picture. God calls. He has a call that goes out into all the world, and He has a call to you this morning. If you're not a Christian this morning, God is saying to you, why? Why are you not a Christian? Why have you not trusted Jesus? I'm offering Him to you. Here's my Son, my only Son, who I gave. Here He is. Take Him. God's saying that to you this morning. Take Him. Will you? Will you take Him? He's calling. He's calling. He's calling. Now, theologically, I could say to you, I know and you know that because I'm dead in trespasses and sins, I won't take Him. And I need God to do something in me. Yes, that's true. But if you're sitting there thinking to yourself, I don't need to do anything until some great flash of light comes, you're mistaken. Today, if you hear His voice, today is the day of salvation. Now, turn to Him. See, that's the call that the Corinthians heard. They heard it. And they were a weird lot of people, weren't they? Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. You weren't brainy. Not many of you were influential. You weren't rich and powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And these people had heard the call, and they had come. And don't you ever think you will be able to say when you face God, and you will, I never heard the call. Because the call goes out, I'm sure, from this pulpit week after week after week. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me. Will you come? And if you come, you will be sanctified. Perfectly. In the eyes of God, you will be perfect. No matter what you are in the eyes of other people, alive in Him, my risen head. How does that start? There's plenty of singers here, aren't there? No condemnation now, why dread? We could sing it, couldn't we? Jesus, and all in Him is mine. Alive in Him, my risen head, and clothed with righteousness divine. How astonishing is that? That's what God does. But that's an act of God. But then He reminds them that that act of God leads them to a life in which they undergo a process. Because what we will be is not yet known. But we know that when we are with Him, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. But we're not there yet. And so what does God say? He says, well, He called you to be His holy people. That's what He wants you to be. Now, in His sight, you are holy because of Jesus. But He wants you to live holy. Can you do that? Well, God says, I want you to do it, and I'm going to help you to do it. He puts a desire in you to be holy. If you say to me, I'm a Christian, but I've never felt the desire to be holy, then I doubt that you're a Christian. Because what happens when you become a Christian? You become a new creation. You have a new life. The Holy Spirit comes and indwells you. Do you think the Holy Spirit, if he indwells you, won't make you want to be holy? Do you think that's possible? Of course it's not possible. Now, I'm not saying we all become suddenly perfect. I don't even believe that any of us become perfect in this life. But I do believe that we want to be. I do believe that we want to seek after God, that we have a desire to live for God. And God says, I'm going to help you. And he says to them, I'm going to give you gifts. You do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. I'm going to give you gifts. He says, in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and all knowledge. Well, all kinds of speech and all knowledge. What's he saying? He's saying there are people I'm going to gift with the ability to teach you. I'm going to put my word in them. And I'm going to give them to you as a gift. And I'm going to give you people who may be not the greatest speakers, but they can understand things. And they can explain things for you. And elsewhere in the scripture he says, I'm going to give you all gifts. Every one of you, not just the people who are up the front. Everybody's going to have a gift. You could read it in Romans chapter 12 if you like. Stuart Olliott calls it either the Nike or the Adidas section. Just do it! Whichever one that is, just do it! If I've given you the gift of hospitality, be hospitable! If I've given you the gift of encouragement, encourage people! Do it! Don't think, oh, I could have encouraged him today. Wish I had. Well, that's not a lot. Do it! Encourage people! And you see, this is the point of becoming holy. In a church, we encourage each other. We want to help each other. We don't want to put each other down. We don't want to set ourselves on some sort of pedestal. We just want to help each other and encourage each other. And we've been given gifts to do it. Now, I don't know all of you. I know a few of you. Unfortunately, most of the ones I know are getting on in years now, because so am I. But you know, all of you have been given gifts. If you don't do anything in the church, you should go to God in prayer and say, Lord, what is it you want me to do and I can do? And just do it. Because he's given us all the gifts that we need. And he's done it because he wants us to be extraordinarily blameless. That's his desire for us. That we might be blameless in the day of Jesus Christ. Well, blameless before who? Well, I would say two things. One, blameless before God. As he who has called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. That's a pretty straightforward statement, isn't it? If God is holy and he's the one who's called you, then he's called you to be holy. So Christians need to live in the family of God. Now my children, of course, were perfect from the moment they were born. Now, and everybody laughs because you all know it's not true, don't you? What a load of nonsense. But they did get better after a year or two. And why did they get better? Because my wife and I taught them what was right and what was wrong. I remember once I was in India and I was preaching in a church, and I had gone on a bit, and everybody sits on the floor except the men. The men get the chairs, I don't know. But there are all these children sitting at the front. Oh, I suppose I'd preach for 40 minutes, and they were sitting there. And I said to one of the mothers afterwards, I said, "It's amazing that your children can sit like that. How do they do it?" She said, "We teach them." Well, that made me shut up. I thought there was something cultural or something like that. But no, we teach them. And that's how we learn to be holy. God teaches us. He teaches us by our experiences. He teaches us by the Word of God. He teaches us by preachers. He's teaching us all the time. And what's he want to do? Well, you know the verse in Romans 8, don't you? Being conformed to the image of his Son. He wants you to look like Jesus. Sinclair Ferguson once said, he had this image. What time have I got to finish, by the way? Now? It is 2:15, but give me 5 minutes. Sinclair Ferguson said, "I have this image of appearing in heaven, and St. Peter meets me. And he takes me by the hand. He says, 'Come on, come on, come meet our Father.' And he comes into the presence of God. And St. Peter says, 'Father, this is John.' And the Father says, 'My word, you look so much like Jesus.'" Isn't that amazing? But that's what he's saying, isn't it? Being conformed to the image of his Son. If my brother and I walk into a room, everybody knows we're brothers. And we will all be like Jesus when we come into his presence. But God is confirmed, is changing us, making us holy. Because secondly, he wants us to be blameless before the world. In the presence of the people that we live with. We have to live with holiness. We have to live telling people that we believe in Jesus. Telling them that we think some things are right and some things are wrong. And there's some things we'll do and some things we won't do. But not because we're holier than thou. But because we're holy like our Father. Because we're holy like God who loves us and gave his Son to save us. And to keep us. You see, that's the final thing. Well, not the final thing, but as much as I'm going to be able to say. His purpose is to keep them till the end. That's what he says, isn't it? God is faithful who's called you into fellowship. He also will keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't chuck you out there and leave you to yourself. He's going to keep you. We used to sing when I was a fairly young Christian. Safe am I, in the hollow of his hand. Sheltered or from his wrath forevermore. Nothing can harm me, no foes alarm me, for he keeps me night and day. How wonderful. But that's the truth. He's called us into fellowship with his Son. That's the third call, isn't it? In his death. We die with Christ. We die to sin. He bore your sins in his own body on the tree. In his eternal life, the resurrection life of Jesus belongs to every single Christian. Every single Christian lives for eternity. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection of the life." You may hear it tomorrow. "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Do you believe that? He said to his disciples. Do you believe that? I was with a friend this week. Friend and his wife, dear friends. She's got stage 4 lymphoma out of the blue, like that. And we were just talking. We went to visit them. We sat and chatted. Talked about our lives together. And then Andrew said, "Well, faith wouldn't be worth very much if it didn't mean anything when you're in a situation like this, would it?" And it wouldn't, would it? It wouldn't. But we trust not in faith, but in the God who gives us faith. We trust God. And the God who called us to be holy. And that's what we must be. In this brief passage, we taught about effectual calling, sanctification, God's preservation of his saints. You've got a complete theology almost in 9 verses if we had time to go through it. It's wonderful. You see, God will never leave you nor forsake you. So, have you trusted him? Let me call you today in the name of God to trust Jesus, to give yourself to him, and he will give himself to you. And he will be your savior. And if you have done that already, God calls you to live a holy and committed life before him. Are you doing that? I can't remember what the last song was. Oh, it's under my notes. That's where it is. Right, we're going to sing as we close, Only a Holy God.